evening, everybody. It's time for another chapter in our Bedtime Stories with Thompson. We're reading
Chapter 9, Friday,
from The Adventures of Robinson Crusoe by Daniel Defoe. Chapter 9, Friday. Robinson stood staring at the sleeping young man.
He was
a handsome fellow, tall and well-built. Robinson guessed him to be about 26 years of age. His long, straight black hair framed a round, plump face that, even while he slept, had a softness about it. No more than half an hour had passed before the young man awoke and came running out of the cave to where Robinson was busy milking his goats. He laid his head on the ground and placed Robinson's foot upon his head as he had done before. Again, the man was showing his loyalty, promising to be Robinson's slave forever. And so began a new life for Robinson Crusoe and the young native he named Friday, for according to the calendar post Robinson had been keeping for 25 years, it was a Friday when he had saved the man's life. That very night, Robinson taught Friday his name, and also to call him Master. Next, he taught Friday the words yes and no, and what they meant. Robinson gave the naked young man some clothes to wear so that he would be dressed in the same goatskin pants, jacket, and hat as his master. This pleased Friday very much, although he felt clumsy and uncomfortable in clothes at first. The next morning, Robinson and Friday climbed to the top of the hill to look around for the cannibals. There was no sign of them or their canoes. They had left without even bothering to search for their two companions. Later in the day, when Robinson and Friday passed the spot where the two cannibals were buried, Friday made a sign to show that he wanted to dig them up and eat them. At this, Robinson got very angry and pretended to vomit at the thought of it. He called Friday away from the spot, and the young man obeyed. Robinson knew that he would have to put an end to the cannibal ways Friday had learned from his people. Together, they headed for the beach and gathered up the remains of the cannibals' feast. They burned everything to ashes. As the days went by, Robinson learned that Friday was a faithful, loving, honest servant who loved him in the same way a child loves his father. Robinson was delighted with this and taught Friday everything he needed to know to help his master. But the most important skill for Friday to learn was language. He had to learn to speak English and understand everything Robinson said. Friday proved to be a very bright student who enjoyed his lessons. He learned quickly and he learned well. A year went by then too. Robinson's life had become easier and happier with Friday as his friend and servant. If only he felt safe from the danger of an attack by the cannibals, Robinson would never want to leave this island ever again. Friday's English had become so good that he was able to answer many of the questions Robinson had wondered about over the years. Friday had been to this island many times before with his people for feasts, so he knew all about the sea and the currents. He told of one strong current from the mainland. Robinson was to discover, much later, that this was where the mighty Orinoco River of South America emptied into the Caribbean Sea, not too far from the island. Friday told Robinson about his country, his people, the sea, the coast, and the nations nearby. He also told Robinson that far to the west of his nation lived much white-beard mans like you, master, for Robinson had great white whiskers which he kept neatly trimmed.
Tree.
Robinson figured that the white men Friday referred to were Spaniards who had settled in some parts of South America. They might be the answer to his escape from the island. When Robinson asked if it was possible to leave the island and find these white men, Friday answered, "Yes, yes, in two canoe." At first, Robinson didn't understand what two canoe meant, but Friday soon explained it meant a large boat, as big as two canoes. As Friday began to understand more and more English, Robinson told him about his own life and how he had come to the island. He described how he lived in England, how people behaved there, how they traded with other parts of the world, and how they worshiped God. After Robinson had described the wreck of his own ship, he took Friday out to see the lifeboat from his ship. It lay in ruins in the exact spot where it had washed up on shore 27 years ago. Friday studied the lifeboat for a while, then said, "Me see such boat like this come to my nation, boat full of white mans. We save white mans from drown." "How many white men were there?" asked Robinson. Friday held his fingers up again and again until he had reached the total of 17. "What has become of them?" asked Robinson. "They live," said Friday. "They live at my nation." "If the men came in a lifeboat," said Robinson, "they must have been in a shipwreck. Perhaps it was the shipwreck that took place out on our rocks. The strong current might have pulled them towards the mainland where they landed at your nation." "White man's with Friday's people 1, 2, 3, 4 years," explained Friday. "Why didn't your people kill and eat them?" asked Robinson. They make brother with them, said Friday, meaning that they had made a truce. Then he added, my nation no eat mans except when fight war. Friday in war for new king when Friday captured and brought here. Robinson wondered if perhaps the young man secretly wished to be back with his people, so he asked, Friday, do you wish to be in your own country again? Friday nodded and smiled. I'd be much glad to be at my own nation. What would you do there? Asked Robinson. Would you turn wild and eat man's flesh again? Would you be a savage as you were before? Friday shook his head and looked upset. No, no, he cried. Friday tell peoples to live good. Tell them pray God. Tell them eat corn, bread, cattle, flesh, milk. No eat man's again. But won't they kill you for that? Asked Robinson. No, they no kill me. They willing to learn. They learn much from white beard mans that come in boat. Then you will go back? Asked Robinson. Friday smiled, then answered, me no can swim that far. But what if I made a canoe for you? Asked Robinson. Then Friday go, he answered, but only if master go too. But if I go, protested Robinson, they will kill me and eat me. No, no, exclaimed Friday, me make sure they no eat you. Me make them much love you. Me tell them how you kill enemies and save Friday's life. You teachy me good. You teachy them good. So Robinson took Friday to the other side of the island and showed him the small canoe he had hidden there many years ago. Well, Friday, shall we go to your nation? Asked Robinson. Boat too small go so far, he said. So Robinson then took him to see his very first boat, the large canoe, which was too heavy and too far inland to get to the water. That good big, said Friday, but not good go on water. Yes, Friday, agreed Robinson, this canoe has been lying here for 23 years. The sun has dried it and split it apart. It is too rotted to be used, but we can make ourselves a new one. So Robinson and Friday set out to find a large tree to use for their canoe. This time, Robinson made certain to find a tree near the creek so he wouldn't have a problem getting it into the water. Working together, Robinson and Friday had the canoe finished in a month. But as close as they were to the creek, it still took another 2 weeks to move it there inch by inch on rollers. Then Robinson cut down a straight young cedar tree for a mast and another smaller one to shape into a rudder for steering. He showed Friday how to shape the poles to fit, then set about making the sails himself. Whatever pieces of old sails he had left were now 27 years old and badly rotted, but Robinson found two pieces that were not as bad as the rest, so he went to work stitching them together. The sails took him nearly 2 months to finish. Once the sails were tied to the mast and the rudder was in place, Robinson was ready for was ready for the boat's first big test.